This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Dealership broadcast booth. It's a Monday edition and the first August edition of 2015 of the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's program. And again, throughout the next couple of weeks, we still have plenty to bring you from Big Ten Media Days, spending the last couple of shows in Chicago. Got a little rest to catch up on before we jump in strong to the college football season. And again, it begins on Thursday for the Huskers. Wednesday night is fan day. They're doing it at night. It's usually an early to late afternoon situation, but it is Wednesday night, and then practice begins on Thursday. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you here on today's program. We'd love to hear from you, and we will bring you a couple of the Huskers that we talked with on Friday. Quarterback Tommy Armstrong, wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp will be on today's Doug and Daddy program. We'll also just kind of take a look. I will say this, Jimmy. How's it going? Missed you.
Real good. Missed you, too.
We had a different format at Media Days this year, which we talked about a couple of times there. And I'm not saying that it did or didn't give us the same insight, but I'm going to say it didn't give me. I don't have the same feeling coming back this year as I've had every other year, whether it was Big 12 or Big 10 Media Days, about the football teams. And maybe that just, I guess for me, I always kind of look forward to this day to talk about, hey, this is what we learned. This team might be a little bit better. This team might not be as good. And maybe it just means there's no change, and we all know that Ohio State is the king of the mountain, and Michigan State is very good, and it's probably unfortunate for the conference that they're in the same division this year.
I was going to ask you a couple questions, and I will on the air because that might be interesting to everybody. Indiana, what did they think of their football team? Do they think they've got a chance to be pretty good?
No,
they didn't think so.
I mean, the kids are always positive, and we had Nate Sudfeld on Friday before he gave his speech at the luncheon. There's not a lot of vibe about Indiana, and again, maybe if Indiana was in the West, they'd have a chance to pick up a couple of games they shouldn't. Indiana actually sounds like they're going to take a step back, and you've got a good quarterback in Nate Sudfeld, and taking a step back is not good, but there is so much competition in that East division. Now let's face it, they were picked to finish last by the informal media poll a week ago. But if Michigan really falters, Rutgers, Maryland, maybe they got a nod for what they did last year. I think everybody still thinks they've got to catch up. I can't see either one of them being as good or maybe, you know. We talked about this with a couple of times in the last 6-7 years with the Huskers. They may be better, but their record may not show it, or they may be worse like this year, and their record may not show it. But I don't see it in Indiana. They could be okay, but okay is going to get them 5 wins, probably max.
Yeah, I thought maybe they'd be a sleeper for me this year. Somebody I might be playing a little bit, you know, thinking they might get third in that side. You know what I mean? But I think everybody's playing for third, kind of. You know, here's first, here's second. But third's going to be, you know, Michigan's going to want it. And everybody's that group.
I think Penn State is just too good.
Okay.
Now, again, we've done all the pre-Big Ten interviews, and we've looked at those schedules. And I think that really plays a lot into it. Who sets up? Well, I mean, Indiana has to beat Rutgers. They have to beat Maryland. They probably need to knock off either Michigan or Penn State to do what you think or hope that they can do. I don't see it, though.
Okay. And then how about your interviews with coaches and players who stood out this year that you're going, wow, that guy, he's got some class, or this player, he's got some class?
One thing that I've noticed every year at Media Days is whether it was the turmoil they're going through, the rebuilding they're going through. Last year, we didn't know that they were going to be eligible to play in a bowl game as Penn State. Penn State continually impresses me, whether it was Coach O'Brien or Coach Franklin, or the first year we were there, it was still Joe Paterno. Penn State just carries themselves differently. Ohio State carries themselves like champions. Even when they weren't champions, they carry themselves like champions. But Penn State, year in and year out, they just don't have that we're going to have an off-year feel. They might not be the best team. They might be the third best team, and probably are, in the East Division. Penn State, very impressive. And Minnesota is the Kansas State of 20 years, 15 years ago. Remember when Kansas State beat Nebraska a couple times but couldn't win the conference? Couldn't get over the hump. And then all of a sudden, they're ranked number one in the country. They're playing in the conference championship. Michael Bishop couldn't quite get it done, and the guys against Texas A&M, when they were the better football team and they lost. When will Minnesota put the cherry on top and win the West Division and play in Indianapolis? And the vibe is that if it's not this year, then it may be a while. But Minnesota, and I got a chance to talk to Coach Kill, and hopefully we'll play that for you maybe a little bit later on this week as one of our interviews. But you can't. There's not a person. I don't even think if you're from Wisconsin, and if Wisconsin thinks that that's their rivalry, I'm not sure that's Minnesota's rival. I don't think there's a person in that entire huge Hyatt McCormick Place in Chicago that has a bad thing to say about Minnesota. They can say some bad things about Penn State and all the other schools. I just don't think there's anybody that, I'm not going to say more respected, because I think Penn State's very respected, but Minnesota. And they've got a tough, this is going to be their toughest schedule out of this little four-year period here that we've been paying attention, where they've beaten Nebraska. Let's not forget, they have to beat Nebraska again if they want to get to where they hope that they can be and take that final step and beat Wisconsin and get one of the other wins on the other side and get to 10 wins and not 8.
Yeah, you know, and they got that TCU game. You know, Minnesota plays TCU. Boy, will that be, I mean, that to me, that's an exciting first game of the season type atmosphere to me. You know, last year, you know, somebody made a comment about, well, you can't go from 4-8. I think we're talking about Michigan. You can't go from 4-8 or 5-7 to 10-2. Well, that's what TCU did last year. You know, TCU had they probably underachieved the year before when they went there 4-8. But, you know, they really were the team. And Doug, I'll tell you what, it kind of looks to me like, after listening to some of the people talk, it looks like in the Big Ten, in one division, everybody's playing for first. They think Wisconsin and Nebraska might be a little vulnerable. You know, Wisconsin's changing coaches, Nebraska's changing coaches. Everybody thinks they got a chance for first. And in the other division, like I said, I think they're playing for third. You know, those other teams are thinking, hey, we maybe, you know, if we things go well, we could finish third here, because they think Michigan State, again, has got a good football team.
I think for Nebraska's sake, they need Iowa to be good this year. They need Iowa to be good this year, and I'm not sure they will be, as much as we're going to pull for the Nebraska boys, and especially Drew Ott. Strange cat, that Drew Ott. Great guy, but just different. It's cool. He's got that. There's a quirky guy all the time, and you usually don't know him. I mean, he's just, oh, okay, that guy. Quirky is Drew Ott, but yet he's not, in front of all of us, quirky. Usually you can pick that guy out. Some of the stuff they showed on College Game Day or College Football Live, and he was the darling of that. I think Nebraska needs Iowa to be good for Nebraska to be good and make that last game of the year meaningful this year. So we'll see. Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. I know a lot of you listened to the show. A lot of you watched on the Big Ten Network and ESPN what was going on at Media Days. And you can tweet us your thoughts and comments, predictions, at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll say this, too. Michigan. Most of the folks there, in fact, just about everybody that actually wanted to talk off mic, off camera, didn't see it happening for Michigan. There may be all the whole Harbaugh factor. The word is Michigan just doesn't have what it takes to be much better than 6-6 this year. And it'll be one of the more interesting storylines in the conference season, is if they have something to play for when those last two games come around, especially Ohio State. They've also got a tough schedule. But can Michigan get to a bowl game this year? And I think they'll really be upset if they can't, because just about everybody gets to a bowl game. You go 500, Michigan's going to be in a bowl game. So those are a few of the schools that we've touched on. I think Rutgers goes up. Maryland comes down, even if that's just a win. Trying to think of some of the other teams that maybe we haven't touched on. But if I was predicting the East, it's Ohio State, Michigan State, whatever. Flip the coin. I think it's going to be Ohio State. Michigan State will be two and end up in the Rose Bowl or something like that, however it falls this year. I think Penn State, I've been pretty on with Penn State since this whole sanction thing happened. I think they're younger than they would like to be for a very big time contender. They're going to have to play against some sophomores and juniors on the line, which you always have to be a little worried about. But I think Penn State will be three in the East, and then maybe you look, maybe Rutgers could be four, Michigan five, and then Maryland and Indiana at the back. I see that there's one of those four. We'll be playing for fourth. I mean, how exciting is that? But I guess one of them, Michigan, would deem that a failure. The other three would probably deem it as a success. In the West Division.
Let me interrupt you a second. Purdue, Illinois, and Northwestern, are they going to be real bad? Purdue, Illinois, and Northwestern, do you think all three will be kind of bad this year?
Purdue's not going to be much better.
Okay.
Four wins.
Okay.
I mean, they went from 1-3.
Okay.
Does four make them better?
Yeah, right. Good point.
Daryl Hazel just...
In Illinois and Northwestern?
Illinois is going to be better.
Okay.
Illinois is going to be better, and I suppose they have to be. I think Beckman's on the hot seat. I don't know why. It's just stupid. Illinois is not good. I mean, he took over a dumpster fire. What do you want from him? But, again, schedule may be a little tough. Can they make a bowl game? Probably. I think that should be deemed a success if they get to 6 or 7 wins. Northwestern, again, great kids. They really, you know, you always say, I love my teammates, I love my coach. You get that with Northwestern, and maybe one in Penn State. I mean, maybe those are the two teams you really get that with. Nebraska. Man. I still cannot get a handle on these guys. From where I was last year saying that we didn't have a quarterback in Tommy Armstrong. I mean, we had a quarterback, a manageable quarterback. That's what he did last year. He kept us around. He's way better. I think Tommy's going to be way better. Tommy might be one of the most improved players in the conference this year. And he showed up and was confident in front of the media, and then when he wasn't talking to people and he's walking around, you know, like the day was over, he was celebrating, he had some life to him. So everything that you would want from a quarterback, at least it seems like, from a fan perspective, how he handles himself, he's smarter. I think that's going to carry over on the field. Will that make Nebraska better? Jimmy Langan, today, I still don't know. I want to believe that Nebraska can get to 10 wins this year. Because it's a possibility. They could lose to Wisconsin and Miami and be a 10-win team. Or Michigan State and Miami. But yeah, Michigan State is better. I'm not saying Wisconsin is. And I think Miami there is a difficult task. whatever Husker fan wants. I don't know what you, Nebraska fan, what do you think? Here, I'll throw this out to you for the whole week, starting today. What would you deem a success? Don't tell me national championship. Don't tell me Final Four, because that's not happening. But if they, I mean, their schedule is good enough that there would be no debate if they go to Indianapolis that they would have a shot to be in the Final Four. But they'd probably have to beat Ohio State to get into that Final Four. Big Ten's not taking two teams to the Final Four unless Michigan State runs the table. That means a win over Oregon. And it would be interesting if Ohio State and Michigan State both get in the Final Four. There's not a whole lot of talk about that. That game is deep enough in the season that if they were both in the top four when they played, you'd have an SEC scenario, Jimmy, where you would have a hard time penalizing either one for losing a 3-6-7-point football game.
Right. I think Nebraska's got about a 25% chance. Last year, they started the season 5-0. And they started at 5-0. I think they got a 25% chance of beating both BYU and Miami of Florida. I mean, about a 25. I'm just giving them a 1-in-4 chance to do that. So, hey, if they can start that season 3-0, hey, I'm jumping in. I'm all in there. Hey, how many more can we win here? Because those two teams can play.
The beauty of it is whatever happens against BYU, we'll overreact. Fans, media, players will overreact. If they lose, oh, my God, the sky's falling. If they win, oh, whew, man, yeah, man, woo, we got a chance here. I'm telling you, this is one of the tougher probably the second toughest non-conference schedule in the last 15 years-ish for Nebraska. Because I'm telling you, when you have an opponent in week one, BYU, and you've got an opponent in week three on the road in Miami, don't overlook week two. People still roll their eyes at me when I say South Alabama has players. They went to a bowl game. They have players that probably academically should be at other schools if they were sound. They end up at South Alabama. This is a program a little bit like a Central Florida when they had Dante Culpepper and gave Nebraska, should have beat Nebraska, but two defensive touchdowns got the job done. This is a football team. Maybe I've got that wrong. I think maybe that was Southern Miss. They scored the two defensive touchdowns on, but nonetheless, they were in Lincoln and gave the Huskers all they wanted. To get through the conference the first 3 weeks undefeated would be pretty special for Big Red. Then you can start dreaming again, and Husker fan will, no doubt about it. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Did we talk about all 14 of them?
I don't know if we did, but I do know this. Nebraska caught a huge break when that BYU game is going to be played in Lincoln, because that would be a really tough game. I would rather play Miami of Florida on the road than BYU on the road.
Well, Nebraska is not going to put themselves in a position to play the opener on the road, I don't think, ever again. They might. I mean, Oregon, somebody, if that's the only time it's going to work, they're going to do everything they can not to play. Nobody wants to play a top 10 team on the road. Now they're starting to do that with the Jerry World game down in Arlington, Wisconsin, Alabama, things like that. But Nebraska, another scary thing is you'll have Tommy back as a senior quarterback as one of, if Hackenberg leaves, maybe the best quarterback in the Big Ten next year, or at least the hype could get him there. And then the schedule starts toughening up. And if Harbaugh does do something at Michigan, they'll come back on the schedule here in a couple, 3 years. The time is now. That's why I was a little worried about the coaching move. The time is now for Nebraska to jump, because it's going to be tougher next year. It's going to be tougher the next year because you'll be breaking in a new quarterback. The time is now for Nebraska. They don't have Ohio State. They don't have Michigan. They don't have Penn State as the cross division on their schedule this year. So sometimes we talk about that. They don't have the top boys. They do have Michigan State, but they don't have the other three who are slated to be in the top four on that East division. But the iron's hot now. But is Nebraska ready? They're not ready. They're not ready. That doesn't mean they can't be ready. Maybe Nebraska is the team that takes the jump this year. Somebody always does. Is Nebraska the team that makes the jump this year? What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I like I said, I gave them a 25% chance of being 3-0, you know, I mean, and last year I thought they might win all five just because of the way the schedule is. But it'll be exciting. It definitely will be a very exciting college football year. I always look forward to college football. It's fun, and I like the NFL, too. What a great – we've only got a few more weeks, and we get this thing rolling. So it'll be interesting. There'll be that one team that will surprise everybody that will be in that top 10 that we'll be talking about. And who will that be? And like you say, I guess Nebraska is one of those 30 teams that could maybe be that one team. You know what I mean? Because there's only going to be one or two that come out of that group of 30 that are going to make that move. Because last year, when you had it, you had Florida State in it. Oh, well, everybody was talking Florida State was going to be in there at the beginning. Alabama was in it. Oregon was in it, and Ohio State was the kind of the team with the injuries that they had, and with, you know, they were the one that kind of surprised it. And then TCU and Baylor were kind of the surprises. And then, I wouldn't say TCU for sure, Baylor a small surprise. You know, Baylor was a small surprise for those six to be talked about at the end of the season. So I don't know which team that'll be this year, but I'm hoping it's Nebraska. But boy, would it be Wisconsin again? I mean, can Wisconsin be good with the coaching change? You know, everybody's saying, hey, everybody's looking at, hey, you know, we got a chance to beat Wisconsin. But Wisconsin, you know, pretty dominant against Nebraska, but not so dominant against everybody else.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and chat with Nebraska quarterback Tommy Armstrong. Later in the show, wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp will take a look at what's going on at the state baseball tournament and a couple of other sports stories. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Take the route to summer savings at Garrett Tires and Treads. The Fusion Touring Tire provides a quiet ride, combining value and comfort. As low as $44.95 for the 185/60R14 size. Firestone Precision Touring Tires provide great traction and high mileage and are $100 off a set of four. Drive into Garrett Tires and Treads now and save. Free offer ends August 31st. Find out more savings at Garrett-Tire.com.
Garrett Guarantee. Garrett. Garrett Tires and Treads.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with a mix of clouds and sun today with isolated storms possible, mainly late, with a high of 86, wind stay to the east. Then we could see a few storms in the area tonight with a low near 66. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 75.
Doug and Danny Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Warm, warm, warm. Unless you're in the field with T&L, then it's cool, cool, cool. T&L is hydrostatically Powered Pivot Systems take care of you with their new GPS navigation corner system to go along with the TNL that you've had in your field. And if you've had one, you've probably had it for a number of years because they're reliable, low maintenance, and they'll do everything you want them to do with the GPS. You can take care of them, start, stop. You don't have to drive out to the field 2-3 times a day to make sure that your TNL is doing what it needs to do. And isn't that nice? Not the way we grew up. TNL takes care of you, and you can see your local TNL dealer like Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island or go online to TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation, like no other, taking care of folks throughout the country and the world for more than 60 years at TNL Irrigation. We had a chance to catch up with a variety of folks at Big Ten Media Days that we didn't have time to play live on the show, and Randy Bushcutter and I had a good time in Chicago, chatting with all of the coaches, media folks, and especially the players, like Nebraska quarterback Tommy Armstrong. Pleased to be joined by Nebraska quarterback Tommy Armstrong here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, you to Randy Bushcutter, as it's almost time for camp. And Tommy, thanks for joining us. Are you looking forward to the start of camp?
Yeah, I am. It's been a long time getting back into that fall camp life, and some guys, it's their last camp. And the last season, so we're looking forward to it. New coaches, new system, just being able to study everything and being able to be prepared for this upcoming season.
What do you do differently spring, summer, fall? How are they different?
Well, this spring, this summer, it's kind of different than it was in the past. You know, in the past we knew exactly our plays. All we did was just go over and teach the young guys this. But everyone started off from the ground up now. In the spring, and we had to start off by learning the basic plays, learning basic run plays, directions, things like that, cadence, huddle counts, 2-minute drills, and things like that, how they wanted to run it, their terminology, their techniques, and things like that. We learned that in the spring. In the summer is more of a teaching thing for the older guys to teach what they learned in the spring for the younger guys that's coming in the summer of June. And just trying to transition that playbook into their heads and kind of get them started as well. And fall camp is more of, you know, polishing up those plays and adding on alert plays, counts and checks and things like that, and signals. And it's more of a fall camp of knowing what we have. We just got to make sure that we polish it up enough to where we can change into things that we need to when we're in trouble and we need to change out of plays.
Tommy, you start as a freshman, go 7-1. By the end of your sophomore season, you're 7th in the history of Nebraska football in terms of passing for a quarterback. And yet, a new coach comes in. There's kind of the question of, you know, will Tommy Armstrong even be the starting quarterback? Does that take you back just a little bit? Because it seems to me your resume speaks for itself.
No, it doesn't take me back a little bit. I understand, you know, when new coaches come in, they, you know, they start from the ground up, like I said before, and, you know, they look at different things. And after talking to Coach Riley, you know, they pretty much told me, hey, you know, we're going to play you unless you give us a reason not to. And, you know, we see that you win games. We see that you're a great leader. We see that you're respected by your teammates. And that's the thing that it takes to be a quarterback, is being respected by your teammates, being respected by your coaches and things like that. And, you know, being able to talk to him about certain things like that, it showed that, you know, he was willing to trust in me. And, you know, I took everything that he told me in about playbooks, about whether certain things that I would like to run or certain things that I liked running in my old offense and things like that. So, you know, when I hear, you know, I shouldn't start, or people say that, you know, I may not start, I really don't look into it, just because at the end of the day, I control my own destiny. You know, I can decide if, you know, I take this play off, or, you know, I don't study hard enough in film, and then that's when my job is there to be taken. But I'm probably the hardest working person you'll see. I don't like people working harder than me. When we compete, I don't like people beating me in drills, you know, in film rooms. I'm always the last person to leave. I'm always there just to, you know, go over stuff, to talk about things, and just to critique every little thing that I can about the film.
And you're also on pace to be a four-year starter, which, you know, does not happen very much. You know, you'd be on a very short list at the University of Nebraska, plus all the statistics that you're kind of on pace for in terms of being up there offensively at NU as well. Do you think about that? Is that something that drives you in terms of being kind of on that Mount Rushmore of Nebraska football players?
No, not really. I really don't look at it that way. I just want to play my game. I love football. I love doing what I do, but at the end of the day, I just got to make sure that, I'm looking out for my teammates and I'm putting them in the right situation to win games. You know, it's not about me. It's not about my accolades. It's not about, you know, the yards I get every year. It's about, you know, me putting myself in the right position to win games by studying film, by, you know, delivering the ball, being more accurate and being more consistent when it comes to our team as a general, because, you know, we struggle sometimes in the second part of our season. And that's one thing that we focused on the most is just trying to have a consistent basis on our schedule and having our first half of our season go just as well as our second, and our second go just as well as our first, because we find ourselves sometimes playing well the first half and then struggling the second part of our schedule.
Nebraska quarterback Tommy Armstrong joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Johnny Stanton leaves. There's like six quarterbacks in spring. What is your relationship? Riker hasn't been around a lot lately, and he's from our backyard, so our listening audience is interested in him. It's competition, yet you all want to get along. What is the relationship right now between all the QBs?
Our relationship is great. You know, we hang out all the time. We actually went golfing, the day before I came up here. I'm not really good at golf. They decided that they wanted to, you know, Riker and Tyson there, they're pretty good at golf. And they, hey, let's go shoot the first nine holes. I'm like, all right. We go and golf for a little bit. And, it was kind of bad for me. But
Nate says you're a better fisherman.
Yeah, I love fishing. But, golf is not my sport. I'm trying to get better. But, we don't look at the competition as being like something that affects our relationship. We're all friends. We all hang out. You know, whenever we have time, we go and eat and do stuff like that. And, you know, whenever we want to hang out, we hang out. But other than that, we don't let, you know, that football life of who's playing, who's not affect our relationship. Because at the end of the day, what matters the most is having that relationship that one person, looks up and realizes that he has to help that guy. Even if I wasn't a starter, I would have to help the starter by helping him prepare and stuff like that.
Tommy Armstrong, starting quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I know you've been a busy man. We'll let you go. We'll see you at all the press conferences. We'll see you on the field. It's a pleasure watching you play, Tommy. Thanks all for right. the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, Tommy.
Tommy Armstrong from Big Ten Media Days, talking a little golf, talking a little football. Speaking of golf, don't forget the 88th annual Southwest Open is this August 8th and 9th. That's this upcoming weekend at the Holdridge Country Club. Your $95 entry fee includes a free practice round on Friday at the beautiful Holdridge Country Club, free range balls, a dinner on Saturday night, and Calcutta. And if you would like to get involved, you can find out all the information online at holdridgecc.com, or you can register today by calling the Holdridge Country Club at 308-995-5744. They've been doing it for 88 years because it's the granddaddy of them all, the 88th annual Southwest Open this weekend at the Holdridge Country Club. Cart rental is an extra fee if you don't have one already established there, but they will get you set up. Call the Holdridge Country Club for this weekend, Southwest Open, 308-995-5744. What'd you think about Tommy, Jimmy?
Oh, like you said, he seemed very confident, and he's going to take over. I mean, he's really got to look around at the team on the offense, and he's got to be the leader with Amir Abdullah gone. He's got to be the leader, and he needs some offensive linemen to step up and be leaders too. So there's going to be some offensive linemen that will do that. They're going to be on that. They're going to be the leaders for the offensive line, but it doesn't hurt to have them be leaders for the whole football team too. So if somebody can step up and they can go to that guy, and that's where they're going to go get 3 yards. Hey, this is where we're going to get our 3 yards right now, or this is the big play we're going to do. We're going to do some stuff, screen passes. I think, you know, what they've got to do for Tommy, they've got to get some short passes, success downfield with some short passes. We threw a lot of long balls with Pelini, and when they wanted to throw the ball deep a little bit more, then, and I think we got to get the short passes and get things going that direction a little bit to get, make Tommy successful. And we got to find a running game. We got to find that running back. But I like the way he talked. I think he seems very confident. He didn't say anything that made him feel to be arrogant. But hey, you know, he said, "Hey, this is the way it is. I'm going to try to take over this football team." And it said, "Hey, I'm going to be the leader. And I'm ready to accept this role." Last year, I don't think he had, that role was what he had. Last year, he didn't know for sure if he was going to be playing much. He kind of had a dual quarterback. You know, got the quarterback job because of an injury. Didn't really get it from somebody. But when he was a quarterback his sophomore year, you know, he got it because of some injury situations. And then they had co-quarterbacks. They went back and forth and finally decided to go with him. So, you know, I think he's going to be one of the better players in the conference. You know, offensive threats to do some things to win some football games.
Well, he has to be if Nebraska's going to be successful because, as I've said numerous times, I don't see the running game being as strong, obviously. And I don't mean Amir Abdullah. I just mean plug in whoever you want. That was some of the chatter in Chicago as well. They were talking about great running, you know, the great running backs at Wisconsin and Ohio State has had. Wait a minute. Hey, Lou, Burkhead, Abdullah, you can throw a few more in there over the last three coaches here. You got NFL running backs, and even in the heyday of the Big Red, not a lot of the running backs went on and made a name for themselves in the National Football League, and Nebraska has that. Your point is taken about that offensive line, and again, one thing leads to another to another. You talked so much, and you brought it up a lot here in the offseason about how Nebraska got so much better in special teams, especially punt return, because it was so horrid, they had to take a look at it. Well, one of the top probably two things that Nebraska has to get better at, short passes, no. Long passes, no, because Tommy was better at the 40-yard ball than the 15-yard ball. He's got to be better in first down situations, third and 8, third and 12, first and 10. I mean, when you need 10 yards, when you need to get that 10 to 20-yard pass, Tommy has to be better in that area. He has to be better in that area, and we'll know that right away, I think. You don't get better significantly from BYU to Iowa. You get better before BYU.
Well, there's three things. You can't be predictable. That's number one. You cannot be predictable that everybody knows what you're going to do. Okay, that's number one. The second thing you've got to decide is ball security more important than taking some chances up the field? So that's going to be, and a lot of times what happens is once you get up 14 to nothing, then you say, you know what, ball security is more important.
Well, I keep thinking our defense will be okay to handle a mistake or two. Now, okay. You can't give them six turnovers.
But. No, a great point. But I think the offensive, how they decide to call that game is going to be so critical about putting yourself in a dilemma. A lot of football games aren't won. They're lost. You know, and when we played Iowa the first 2 years ago at Nebraska, when we lost the game, that game was lost. We did not take care of the ball. We were trying to do things and force things on a cold day, on a windy day, and we ended up making mistake after mistake after mistake. And Iowa said, "Hey, we don't have to do anything offensively now. Thank you. You've given us everything we need. Now we just need to sit on the ball and play this way." So ball security and taking risk and chances and taking some opportunities up the field. And a lot of times it dictates, because once you get down 14, ball security, you forgot to go out the window because you got to make some things happen, you know. And when you take that chance. But, hey, when you're taking somebody on that's a lot better than you, you don't have to do that. Because, hey, only being down 10 right now is not so bad. You know, hey, we're only down 10 at halftime. That's not bad against this team that we're playing. You know, we don't want to change our game plan right in the middle.
And, Jimmy, you bring up an interesting point, because how do you think these coaches coached at Oregon State? There was a lot. There was half the teams they played that were better than them. Are they a conservative type of offense, defense? Are they conservative at Oregon State, or are they not conservative? I do not know the answer to that one. I hedged towards a little more conservative, but when they had players, they utilized them. So maybe that's just the bottom line. If they knew they had somebody special, and that was another comment that came from last weekend. Mike Riley has always been a good coach when he's got a so-called superstar. Now, that sounds funny when you hear it and say it, but it seemed like he could do other – now, this is from national folks or folks that cover the Pac-12 as well, is that he could do more things when he had somebody he could rely on and then could take a look at other areas of his football team. Nebraska does not have that guy right now. We'll take a break. Jordan Westerkamp, we'll chat with him. We'll look at state baseball tournaments that are going on in Cozad and Battle Creek. Get a whole lot more, including a little Royals love after this.
If you got it, show it.
Get ready.
That's right, baby. TDLC Cruise Night 2015 is Friday, August 14th in Hampton. We challenge you, Tri-City Street Rods, Living Legends, and Central Nebraska Auto Club to put your hot rod where your mouth is. On Main Street in Hampton, August 14th at 6 p.m. Sandwiches and drinks are provided. Family fun for everyone. Friday, August 14th at 6 p.m. on Main Street in Hampton. TDLC Cruise Night invites you out to show your shine. Cruise on into Hampton, August 14th.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with all the area county 4-H and livestock auctions. Pedley Drug, Ostermeyer Equipment, Ron Wall Cargill, Broadfoot Sand and Gravel, Mattson Seed, Shelton Locker, Steve Casper, your Hogemeyer Seed Dealer in Minden, Adams Corner Market in Gibbon, and McBride Realty in Minden. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be part of such a great program is a blue ribbon in itself.
WNATI Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We'll talk with Husker wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp here in a moment, but first our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. There was some talk last week, and always has been, about independence in college football, and then when the playoff system came around, how do you take care of Notre Dame, Army at the time, Navy, BYU, teams like that? Should the college football playoff require teams to be in a conference? 46% said no, 23% said yes. Also had some votes for just Notre Dame and BYU leave the service academies alone. So your thoughts, Jimmy? Should these guys have to be in a conference? Notre Dame kind of is now at the ACC, the stupidest, weirdest, craziest thing out there. But doesn't matter to me. I mean, their schedules are tough enough that I don't have a problem with them. I mean, let's face it, I don't even care who you play. We've seen schedules that are for dopes that if you go 12-0, you're going to be in the playoff now, so why should it matter? I mean, they're not playing FBS schools every week of the season, so it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, and you know, when Notre Dame plays USC every year, I mean, that alone is a football game that you're looking at going, oh, that's enough to let me know if you're good or not. Yeah, I suppose. I just... I wouldn't leave it, and I'll tell you what, I'm disappointed that they have a rule, you know, within the, you have to have 10 teams to have the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, you can have less than that, and they can let these teams, if they want to have a college football, you know, their own conference
playoff.
Well,
it's your conference. Do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. You want to have your, if you want to have your play-in game, or you want to have that game, that extra game, where two teams can play and, you know, make themselves a little bit better. Of course, you know, if you have one loss, you want to have that. If you have zero losses, you're happy as heck. We set our table here. We had zero losses. Notre Dame goes undefeated. I'm going to be in.
No doubt about it. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Vote anytime you want. Simply put, today, are you impressed by Ronda Rousey? It seems like she's fought 50 times, but not as far as UFC. What is she, 12-0 now, and the Brazilian gal's 9-1?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes, I'm impressed. I think she's figured it out. There's always a sport at some point, some athlete, some team figures it out. I don't know what it always is, but she has figured it out. I mean, when you're winning that quickly against top-notch opponents, it'll be interesting if she ever has to go into a third round, how that'll play out. But yeah, I'm impressed. I don't sit down and watch a lot of UFC, but if it's on, if you're in a spot where you can go watch it, I didn't order it. But if it's in a spot where you watch, I'll watch it. I'm not a big UFC guy, but this Rousey thing is kind of entertaining. And you know what? I think it's more entertaining because it is a woman, not guys. I mean, you got a kabillion guys that are doing it. The field, the pool is a lot smaller there. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, the word kabillion, that is a lot of guys that are doing this.
A
kabillion.
It's almost as many sandwiches as you can get at Big Dally's. A kabillion.
A kabillion. Hey, you know, I really don't have a strong opinion on this at all because I don't know the quality athletes that she's fighting. You know, and I think sometimes that's interesting too. In boxing, you know, when you make a big deal out, hey, these two fighters are going to fight, and you're going, well, that guy's about 6 years over his prime, and we're making a big deal out of this fight here. So I guess I don't, but I do know one thing. I think she's got it figured out.
Yeah, you can vote now or anytime on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. State baseball continues today in Cozad. They've got three games starting at 2:00. Yesterday, McCook eliminated Albion and Blair eliminated Cozad in the winner's bracket. Roncalli beat Beatrice and Hickman beat Ogallala. Hickman going for the junior-senior doubleheader state championship. So at 2:00, elimination game, Beatrice-Blair. 5:00, Ogallala-McCook. They're obviously familiar with each other. And then the winner's bracket final, Roncalli and Hickman, will be at 8:00. In Class C, we'll have a couple of area teams playing today when Shelton Gibbon and Alma will face off. Yesterday in the elimination, Alma beat Battle Creek 4-1, and Bruning Davenport Shickley beat Pender 5-4. In the winner's bracket, Elmwood Murdoch beat Shelton Gibbon 6-4, and Louisville blanked Crofton 5-0. So today in Battle Creek at 2:00, Bruning Davenport Shickley against Crofton at 5, Shelton Gibbon and Alma. And in the winner's bracket, again, two teams that are just down the road from each other, Elmwood Murdoch and Louisville will play, I think some of those kids play together during the high school season. So that's an interesting dynamic there, and that's going on at Battle Creek. We had a chance to catch up with Nebraska wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp as well at Big Ten Media Days. Randy Bushcutter and I, of course, were there Thursday and Friday. We'll continue to bring you some of those, including Jordan Westerkamp. Doug and Daddy Show, welcome in Jordan Westerkamp in his home venue here as we get ready for the season, but Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. And Jordan, is it nice to come home? And thanks for the time. Nice to come home and show the boys a little bit about what you're about.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's great to be home. I've already seen some of my family, so that was nice. They were at the luncheon, so great to get back here, see some family members, and kind of show these two the ropes a little bit here. Took them out to eat the other night, so they've been enjoying it. It's been a good time. It's been a great day.
You know, I've been following Nebraska football since they invented the forward pass, and you know, there's about top 10 plays in Nebraska history. You've been involved in a couple of those. You know, the catch against Florida Atlantic, the Hail Mary, of course, against Northwestern. You kind of look back, and I mean, you're not going to have a highlight reel of Nebraska football without at least one Jordan Westerkamp play.
Yeah, you know, it's been a crazy ride so far, and you know, I was fortunate enough to make a couple plays, some pretty memorable ones. But you know, I try not to look too much into that stuff, and remain humble with it. They were good plays, but like I said, I don't like to look too much.
I'm not asking you to be humble about it. I mean, I can tell by the smile on your face that those are some great memories.
Yeah. They were awesome plays. It was really cool to, you know, as a little kid, I always wanted to be on SportsCenter, and I think for both of those, I was on SportsCenter number one. So it was really cool to see that and kind of just take a step back, be like, wow, did that really happen? I mean, I got to pinch myself. You know, those plays really happened. So it was really cool.
Yeah, the College Football Player of the Year does make SportsCenter.
Jordan Westerkamp with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Do you get more pats on the back or do you get more ribbon from the teammates when that stuff happens?
Pats on the back.
Outstanding. You have moved into your, as Randy said, junior year, and all three of you, team captains. Some of what you've done on the field, and usually more importantly, what you've done off the field, is what garners that role for you. Your thoughts when you're all there in the weight room and Coach Riley says, Jordan Westerkamp, I want you to be a leader of this football team. I'm putting the C on your jersey.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable feeling. It was pretty crazy because, you know, in the past it's been only seniors. And, you know, waiting there, and I think I was the last one to call it too, so it's kind of like a...
You're used to that with a W.
So having him call my name, it's such a great honor, and I'm so happy to be a captain and to be able to be here today as well and represent Nebraska. You know, I love the program. It was great to have my teammates. It was a player vote thing, so to have my teammates vote me captain, it made me feel you know, pretty good. And I love those guys. And I'm gonna do everything I can to be the best captain I can be.
If you're the quarterback, you get a lot of touches. If you're the running back, they're going to hand you the ball guaranteed. Receiver, no guarantee that a ball is going to get thrown your way. How do you, and consistency is one of those things you're aiming for instead of just those big plays from now and again. How do you try to make it so you're consistently where you need to be and be able to be an available target for Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes with practice. You know, the more you practice, you get on the same page with your quarterback. And, you know, I've roomed with Tommy now for 3 years, so you know, we live together. And just being able to go to practice and, you know, make those plays and go home and look at it on film and, like, talk about, you know, what we need to do to be on the same page. You know, that definitely helps your consistency, just being able to do it day in and day out without complication. So, you know, if we can do that, that'll make it so much easier during the season when we're playing these games to be on the same page and be consistent.
A couple minutes here with Jordan Westerkamp. I remember this vividly, and the only problem I don't remember is the exact game it was last year. But both you and Tommy had a rough game. There was a couple passes over the middle that maybe one he threw behind, maybe one you should have had. And us media folks want to go, hey, what's going on? Tommy steps up front. You're out to the side. And then 15 minutes later, you guys are walking out talking. I mean, they wanted to make it out that, hey, you know, these guys had a problem, and then 15 minutes later, nobody wants to talk about you guys walking out together, probably talking about what's going on that night. Does it get a little, I don't know if overwhelming is the word, but does it get a little intense at times? Not with Tommy, but with things like that, with media,
scrutinizing, everything. I can hit on both aspects there. You know, obviously emotions are high during the game, and it's frustrating when you're like, you guys aren't on the same page, and they were probably both my fault, but
well, that's what you said, but you were standing up for that.
But yeah, things happen. People make mistakes, so you can't hold it against a guy too hard at all. Mainly, more of it's got to be an encouraging type deal, because like I said, you're going to make mistakes, and then whatever happens on the field stays on the field between, you know, Tommy and I. You know, we're best friends. We can talk about things. You know, it's on the field. We walk out of the stadium. Game's over. What are we doing tonight?
Exactly.
And then, you know, with the media, we do a really good job of just kind of, you take it for what it is type deal stuff. It's tough sometimes, but, you know, we got each other, you know, to keep each other's heads up and stuff like that. So that's not a big deal.
You have not only have a new head coach, but you'll have a new position coach. Tell me a little bit about what's different with Coach Williams.
Yeah, he's super energetic. He likes to really be involved with what we're doing. He'll be doing the drills for us, kind of showing us, which is pretty neat. And he's just super hands-on. He gets super, you know, if you catch a long bomb or whatever, he'll run all the way down there, high-five you, and talk smack to the DB that you burned, whoever it was. So it's really cool to have him. He brings a really unique set of skills to the table. And, you know, I've said this before, but I'm in a unique situation where I was able to learn a whole lot from Coach Fisher, and now I get another side from Coach Williams, and that just increases the, you know, the variety. So it's a pretty good deal, and I'm really looking forward to going into fall camp and just learning more from Coach Williams.
You know, most people, when they look at wide receivers, they look at route running, they look at how good their hands are. Mm-hmm. At Nebraska, there's obviously that emphasis on downfield blocking. Which element of those games do you take the most pride on, and which element do you say, I still have some things I'd like to get better at?
Well, I like to I always like to be improving my game. There's never an aspect where, like, you know, I'm good enough right there, I don't need to work on it anymore. I like to always work on everything, because you got to have that never satisfied attitude, because you can always improve. You can always get better. You know, as a receiver, you got to be able to catch. You got to be able to run routes. You got to be able to block. You know, as much as people don't like to block, you got to be able to block. And blocking, I take a lot of pride in blocking. You know, even in high school, I was an extremely physical wide receiver. I still, to this day, I love being physical with the guys across from me, because it's kind of demoralizing to them. And it makes the route running and catching the ball easier. But you just got to always work on your craft and work on all aspects, because you can always improve.
And obviously the blocking was very famous under Coach Pelini and before that when they ran the option. Mm-hmm. Is there any change in emphasis with the new?
Little less emphasis on the blocking, more technique-wise, in the route running stuff. But it's still an area that we will take a lot of pride in, and we will make sure that the opponent knows that we're here to block as well.
Jordan Westerkamp, Nebraska wide receiver, team captain going in. I have to ask you one question, you know, personally here, because I know Bo and the staff worked extremely hard just to get you to Nebraska. You had options. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. At what point was there a day when you just let it go? Was there a day during the transition that you let it go and accepted? Because I would think that would be tough for all college students. Hey, this is the guy that fought for me. Was there a specific time that happened for you?
Yeah, you know, it was a crazy deal. You know, coming off of that Iowa win, no one really expected it to happen. And, you know, when it happened, personally, I was extremely shocked and kind of hurt. You know, it's this guy recruited me. I looked up to this guy as a father figure, you know, for me. Everybody felt that way. It was just a big, you know, shock. And, you know, as the weeks went on, people, you know, it got better and better. But, you know, at first it was tough. It was tough. But the team, we just kind of had to realize, you know, it happened. It's not really a let go thing, because those guys will always be a part of our, you know, a part of our lives, a part of us. But, you know, what's important now? We don't have, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, you know, to sit around and mope, you know. So these guys, it was hard at first, but they accepted the change. And, you know, as these months have gone by, we've gotten closer and closer with this new staff and have built pretty strong relationships with our position coaches and head coach. So I think it's only going to get better. Can't wait to go into fall camp and, you know, work more with these guys.
And does it matter who you guys play in Indianapolis in December?
Doesn't know.
we want to end it on a little lighter note right there.
And here's your Coke can. It says Superstar on it. So you must have left that there.
There you go. We'll let Westerkamp have the Coke can, and we'll let him get on. And Jordan, practice begins next week, man. Stay healthy and have a great year.
All righty. Thank you very much.
That's Jordan Westerkamp, Nebraska wide receiver, could be one of the best. And I thought he was the proper one, Jimmy, to ask about Bo, because their relationship, you know, sometimes the coach just goes into the home the last time to kind of seal the deal. Now, Bo was on Westerkamp. Remember, Tommy and Jordan were two highly sought after. These weren't the guys that chose Nebraska over Ohio, South Dakota State, and Air Force. They chose Nebraska, and Bo was instrumental in sealing the deal, because Westerkamp wanted to come to Nebraska, but he had a couple of other, at that time, maybe even better offers. So, and you could kind of tell, I don't want to say he got choked up, but his expression and his mood when we talked about that there definitely changed a little bit. But outside of that, this is a kid you want on your team. You want him representing you. He's flashy. He's made a couple of those plays that will, as Randy told him, cement his name in Husker legacies.
Yeah, you know, I think if I was Bo Pelini and if I was Coach Riley, I'd be happy with the way he answered that question. You know what I mean? I think both he did a really good job answering the question, because that is it. You don't, and we're going to move on, but you're still going to be part of my life. You know, I mean, some of the things that you taught me, and hey, I want to win these games, but I sure want Bo Pelini to be in my corner thinking, hey, you know, Jordan, hey, I wasn't coaching Nebraska football, and sometimes it's kind of hard for me to cheer for him. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I was glad you had a good game type, you know, a type atmosphere, you know, because
shoot him a text, drop him a note.
That's right. And yeah. So I think, and I thought it was a very, very good question, Doug, by the way. I'm impressed. Wait, I mean, you know, we can all ask the fun questions.
I try.
Yeah, good job.
Hey, folks, a lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Oh, chicken tender. Oh, so good food. I had a little lunch at the Chicken Coop this weekend when we got back, so saw the gang again, and they have a great menu anywhere from salads and appetizers to the chicken bone-in, bone-out, or a chicken sandwich to steaks, ribs, a little seafood for you, and, of course, great pizza and burgers as well. And if you need a little bit bigger room, they've got the convenient party room or business room. Stop in today and find out how you can get that baby secured for your group or just to have a great lunch, dinner. And Monday, it's Coop Koozie Night. Get your koozie for $5 and $12-ounce drinks in that koozie all night long at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be back and put a finishing touch on this in a moment.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, you know, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
I call Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
This summer, double up on delicious, because right now the new extra-long pulled pork sandwich at Burger King is just 2 for $5. So now you get 2 times the savory pulled pork and sweet barbecue sauce, twice as many tasty pickles, double the fresh white onions. It's the perfect addition to our 2 for $5 deal, along with the original chicken sandwich, Big King sandwich, and Big Fish sandwich. So you can mix and match 2 large sandwiches for just $5. Taste the new extra-long pulled pork sandwich this summer before they're gone, only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Plan now to attend the 32nd Annual Platte Valley Antique and Collector Show. This show will be held at the Crystal Lake Recreation Area in Ayer, Nebraska on August 14th, 15th, and 16th. Enjoy fun kid games, parades, tractor games, concessions, tractor displays, live music, and more. Also, enjoy the beer garden and wine tasting on Saturday. Gates open at 7 a.m. each day. $5 admission, good for both days. Children under 10 are free. For more information, log on to pvama.org.
All sports.
You think losing is funny?
All the time.
You didn't listen to a word I said.
KICS Hastings. KXPN Kearney.
That was the sloppiest playing I've ever seen.
Back at Daddy's Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Hey, folks, GMC, the little things that set the all-new GMC Sierra apart. Qualified buyers can get 0% for 5 years, plus a $2,000 cash allowance with the 2015 GMC Sierra SLT. Have room for up to 8 for your road trip this summer with the GMC Acadia. Available rear vision camera, rear park assist, OnStar, and much, much more. Qualified buyers can get 0% for 5 years and a $2,250 purchase bonus cash on the 2015 GMC Acadia SLT at your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Jimmy, anything else?
Nope.
Nothing?
Well,
good weekend?
Yeah, pretty good.
Nebraska has a new assistant men's basketball coach. Again, what can we tell you except that it's Phil Beckner. He'd been at Weber State, and then last year was with the NBA Developmental League with the Oklahoma City's franchise called the Oklahoma City Blue. And we talked a little bit about the UNK Hall of Fame on Friday. But again, congratulations to former equipment manager Dick Collins and athletes Mike Keene, baseball, Burt Mueling, football, Aaron Arnold, K, volleyball, and Carol Hayner Golte, track and field. Royals have the day off, so that means there probably won't be any fighting today.
They won't get in a fight throwing pitches at anybody, that's for sure.
Had a little brouhaha with the Blue Jays yesterday and over the weekend. Went 1-3 against the Blue Jays. Now they go to Detroit, who's kind of conceded the season by dealing some players. So that series will start tomorrow and take them into the end of their 10-game road trip before they can finally come back home. We have many more Big Ten interviews to bring through the week, including Minnesota football coach Jerry Kill. We will also be talking about the state baseball tournament coming up, and of course practice begins later this week, and Sean Callahan on hand with the Big Red Report. Jordan Westerkamp, Tommy Armstrong on today's show. We appreciate them sitting down with us. Jimmy, have a good week, man.
I'll see you Friday.
All right, folks, have a great week. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.